broadcasting live at 10 a.m. Central, worldwide on the web. This is OneRadioNetwork.com.
And a very pleasant good morning to you. This is Patrick Timpone. And you've got OneRadioNetwork.com, just like the nice lady said. And it is 10 a.m. Central, a couple minutes after. And we'll introduce you to our guest, David Icke, live from London in just a second. So hold on to your chairs. Always exciting stuff when we have an opportunity to talk with Mr. Icke. So stay right there and join us, if you'd like, live here this morning, February 9, 2010. Here's the phone number, 888-663-6386. You know how it works. You simply will put you on hold while we're on the air and listen via the telephone to the show, and then we'll pick it up live on the air. Tomorrow, Andrew Goss, our regular weekly adventure into the real world of money. Here's a gentleman that has been looking at the Federal Reserve System, the powers that be, how money works, the Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, how it ties in all geopolitically for a very, very long time, 30 years, and he's a regular weekly guest. So we get quite an education. If you've not heard Andrew Goss, check out our show tomorrow and all of our archives on Thursday. We're going to be talking about electromagnetic fields and how they can affect you at home and what to do to protect yourself. And also Dr. Jonathan Wright will be on this week, who's one of the best in the biz in the northwest part of the country. So we have lots of things coming up. This morning we're going to go over to London, and it's a pleasure to welcome David Icke to the show once again. He's been on several times. David is finishing up a new book that we're going to ask him about, but he's going to... Well, David Icke, first of all, good morning to you. How are you?
I'm good, Patrick. You?
I'm fine, sir. Nice to have you here. So it's kind of exciting. We're not going to unfold exactly what this book is about, but you say it's going to be coming out very soon, or going to press very soon. But this is a little bit different, where you've uncovered a lot of new information, and you're going to wait until it comes out before you talk about it.
Yeah, because almost before it comes out, because the new information is so dramatic, challenging in many ways, but good, because we need to know what's going on, that it really needs to be put together, all dots connected, because if it comes out in dribs and drabs, then A, it loses the power of comprehension, and B, it can sound crazy if it's not put together with all the other dots that I put it together with. But this book is the biggest work I've ever done. It's 720 odd pages, 325 illustrations. It's got 32 pages of original artwork by a great friend of mine, an artist called Neil Haig. So it's just a massive, massive work. And, you know, I've been working 12 hours a day on it for months, including all over Christmas and New Year, so I could get it out in a reasonable time scale. But it will challenge a lot of people, and or even people in the arena of the research that in the areas that I work in, or some of them, but it will also have lots and lots of people going, oh my goodness, so that's how they
Well,
do
we
it.
Like those kind of books, don't we?
Yeah.
And when do you think it will be out in the public arena?
We're hoping to have it in circulation. We'll have it through the website, davidicke.com, by May.
Okay.
But by the end of May, it should be circulating in the shops. It will be, Patrick, to use the old quote, highly, highly controversial. Let's move forward. We can't keep going round in circles. See, the thing is, Patrick, that, you know, over the last 20 years, and it's kind of funny because this is an anniversary for me that's coming up. It's kind of weird. It wasn't planned that way, that this book should come out almost to the month when this started for me in March 1990, or started for me, consciously anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And over the years, I heard a simple philosophy. I want to know what's going on. I'm not going to decide that this isn't this. I'm not going to go into this area because it seems crazy. I'm going to go if the information justifies it. And you know, when you look at the multi-leveled, multi-scaled, interconnecting things that are being introduced in the world in such a coordinated way across a great spectrum of different areas of life, in health and politics and banking, business and science and surveillance and all the rest of it, then, you know, there has to be something that is coordinating all this, because it ain't just men in dark suits sitting around a table. That's one level of it as it plays out, but it's not where it originates, and it's not where it's coordinated from, and this is what this book reveals.
So in general, you're suggesting here then there is some deep spiritual or karmic event going on here, rather than just, like you say, people in smoke-filled rooms drinking 20-year-old scotch playing games.
Well, see, what happened to me, Patrick, 20 years ago is I had just an amazing series of experiences, one in particular, but they were interconnected, which basically blew the top of my head off. And I started to see things and perceive things that I didn't before.
Yeah.
And once that had happened in 1990, very early 91, my life became this amazing synchronistic journey, and walking into information, documents, experiences, people in an incredibly coordinated way to hand me the puzzle pieces. Now, it started out in the first few years, overwhelmingly, it was about what I call the five-sense level of reality. It was about banking scams, political scams, engineered wars. And incidentally, from the very, very early days, the earliest days after this started, one of the themes that came into my life very powerfully and constantly was Sumer, which became Babylon, which we now call Iraq. That area of land is very, very significant. They've not just gone into Iraq for oil. They've gone into Iraq for many reasons. And one of them is it's a very, very historical part of the world for the network of families that control our planet today. But after that, I started moving through this synchronicity, especially over the last 6-7 years, and this is fundamentally important. Everything comes from this, into the nature of reality itself. And once you start to understand how that works and the illusory nature of the reality that we're experiencing, then you can understand how it's possible to coordinate something in such an extraordinarily powerful way, effective way, that would not be possible if you were perceiving the world as most people perceive it, which is that it's all a solid world and everything's just matter and everything's apart from everything else. It's not like that. And even the cutting edge of science now is beginning to look at this and realize that it's got to go down this road if it wants to understand reality. Funnily enough, I've been writing for years and years and years that we live in a holographic universe, mm-hmm. which is an illusory of physicality, an illusory three-dimensional state. And I picked up an absolute center of mainstream science magazine a little while ago in 2009. And that the front page headline or front page feature was you are a hologram projected from the edge of the universe. So we're now starting to see even mainstream science have to look at this. And once you understand it and how it works, bingo, not only can you understand how this can be coordinated globally across these or so many different subjects, areas, countries, organizations, you can see why they do things that they do, like putting additives in food, putting additives in water, like fluoride and stuff, putting all the electrochemical and microwave pollution in this microwave electromagnetic smog that we live in now, particularly in cities. Once you realize what I'm talking about in terms of reality, these things take on much more profound states in terms of understanding why it's done.
You know, what's so interesting is if you make the case that this is all an illusion, what we call reality, as you have over the years, then you can then take the next step, I guess, David Icke, that then we souls, we are creating this illusion, and then are we then being fed the information kind of through us? So even though we're creating the illusion, we don't know that we're the creators and we're being fed the information? Is that what
that's an very interesting question. I mean, I always use the analogy because I think it's appropriate. I mean, what we're talking about in terms of our reality, and by the way, when I say it's an illusory reality, I'm talking about its physical, solid nature. Our reality does exist. It exists in the form of information. You know, I'm sitting in front of a computer now, and if I put a disk in the computer, what is a software disk? It's just information encoded on a disk. Can't even see the information. And then you put it in the computer, and the computer decodes that information into what we call the internet in terms of text and images and moving pictures and all the rest of it. Now, we're doing that in a much more sophisticated way, obviously a much more advanced way, through what I call the body computer. This is why it's quite provable fact that, you know, the five senses simply take vibrational information, they turn it into electrical information, same information, different form, and they communicate that to the brain that decodes that into what we call the physical world. So we're like, if you like, on a body level, not in terms of consciousness, the infinite self, but on a body level, we're like computer terminals. Now, once you realize that, I mean, just imagine you are a network of manipulators, and you have systematically, through control of science and the use of religion over the years, you have kept this awareness of reality and how we're experiencing it and how we're decoding it from the mass of the people, but you know. And so if you know that if you can manipulate the decoding system, i.e. body-mind, as I call it, you can manipulate the way we perceive reality. So we are, for instance, on a body mind level, we are crystalline in nature. The DNA is crystalline. You know, it was very interesting, Patrick. Early last year, I met a man called Harvey Biggleton, who operates up in Northern California, and he was in medicine, and now he's in alternative forms of healing. And he wrote a book called Holographic Blood, because he was seeing holograms in the blood. And I was in his center, his clinic, and he took some of my blood, put it under this microscope, which had very, very powerful microscope, and I looked at it. It actually was funny. I at the time had very, very big problems with my hips. You know, by the time I met him, I was walking okay. But earlier in the day, every day, I was stiff as heck. And he looks down the microphone at my blood, and he says, "You having problems with your hips?" I said, "I am." He said, "Oh, no, I can see them." "Look here," he said. And I looked down, and there was a pair of hips very clearly in the blood. Anyway, what he did was he kept increasing the power of the microscope. And in the end, clear as day, Patrick, my blood became quartz crystal. And so we're a crystalline entity on one level. Now, what did they use quartz crystal for? Receiver transmission in technology. And we are receiver transmitters of information. If you can destabilize that receiver transmission system, then you are going to reduce dramatically the level of perception that people are going to be able to pick up. Now, on another level, because everything's an expression of everything else, the human body computer, as I call it, is an electrochemical organism. And so if you can destabilize it electrochemically, and once again, you are destabilizing or reducing its ability to decode reality into the full potential that we have, even on a what we call a physical level. And that's what's happening. We're being bombarded with this stuff.
I see. So that ties into, you know, the additives and whatever, EMFs.
Exactly.
And so what you're suggesting then, that the we'll call them the powers of be, whatever, you know, name, then not only have they been clever enough over many, many years to mess up the way we perceive reality, like you just said, but also what we perceive.
Yeah, and this is where the media comes in.
So it's on two levels. Yeah, it's on two levels.
Yes, exactly. See, what's happening is we're born into this world, and the conditioning starts. What's happening is the on the computer level of reality, we're being programmed. We're being programmed with a sense of reality. Parents do it to children, not because they're malevolent, but because they believe that this is reality, so they pass it on to their children. The children then go to school, and right through all these formative years, they're being programmed with a sense of reality and a sense of who they are. And all the peers around them are confirming that sense of reality because they've been through the same system. And then you've got the media all over the world, the mainstream media, which is again programming a certain very limited sense of reality perception and self. And what happens is our point of attention, this is the key, we are infinite possibility, we are infinite consciousness. But if you perceive that we are the ocean that is everything, mm-hmm. We don't perceive every point on the ocean at any stage. We perceive a point on the ocean, and then we can move our attention, and we perceive this point on the ocean, and our reality and experience changes. But what the system does, the control system, the manipulation system, is it's constantly manipulating people to focus their attention on five sense reality. And if you do that, your attention gets pulled from what you would call soul, mm-hmm. Consciousness as I call it, into a body-mind reality. And that body-mind reality is all about limitation, it's all about I can't, it's all about it's not possible, it's all about little me, and all the rest of it. And once you get people en masse into that sense of reality, then the few manipulating the many becomes very straightforward. But if you can awaken, and you can, out of mind-body, and perceive that that's our experience, our vehicle to experience this reality, and it's not who we are, then you start to move your point of attention from I am Ethel Jones and this is my job to I am infinite consciousness, infinite possibility, having an experience at this point as Ethel Jones doing this job. And then everything changes. Everything, not least energetically, you start to move and you start to vibrate to a different drum and beat to a different drum, and everything changes. And as you will know, and many people listening to this program will know, and I certainly know after traveling the world doing this stuff for 20 years now, this year, my 20th year, there is an awakening going on among increasingly vast numbers of people who are waking up from body-mind to higher levels of consciousness. And once you do that, you start to see this world differently, and you start to see what you couldn't see before. And that's just the biggest threat to the control system. And, you know, I've got news for them. The control system's coming down. Not tomorrow, but it's coming down, and it's coming down because of the awakening that people are having increasingly powerfully to see beyond this world, to be in this world but not completely of it.
And do you think it's fair, David Icke, to say that how they encourage people to get into this and stay into this five sense reality is through the fear?
Oh, fear, yes, because in the end, you know, there's different levels of being, as I mentioned earlier. There's the holographic level of being, which is what we call the physical world, that experience, which is all about the five senses. There is the digital level of being, because part of this holographic reality is digital. This is why numbers and mathematics are so important. Mm-hmm. This is why things like the classic ancient numbers and geometry like golden mean, pi, the Fibonacci sequence, etc., are so important. This is why you find them in nature. This is why you find them in ancient buildings like in Greece and elsewhere, where the ancients knew this and understood this, and they produced their buildings in line with the digital level of the reality. And it's interesting, Patrick, I was reading only about 3 weeks ago that some quantum physicists have found that golden mean and pi, etc., exist at the quantum level. Of course they do, because the holographic level is just a holographic expression of the vibrational, the quantum level, the deeper levels than what we call matter. It's all different expressions of one thing. It's like at the quantum level, you've got the projector, and what we call the holographic world is like the screen that it projects upon as apparent physical reality. So one is bound to be a mirror of the other, because they're expressions of each other, just like what's on the screen in a movie theater mirrors what's being projected from the back of the room. And so we are now beginning to understand more and more about this. And as we understand more, we understand how it's possible for a network of families to manipulate literally billions of people. And if you can manipulate and program the way that we perceive reality, then you will massively influence how we decode reality to what we say is a physical experience. I mean, you look in a hypnotist stage show. What are the hypnotists doing? They're implanting a sense of reality, and that makes that person, that stooge on the stage, decode reality to fit that program. So someone will be programmed to believe the person next to them is naked. They'll think they're naked. They're not. But their perception is, because that's how they're decoding reality, because they've been implanted with that sense of reality, it becomes their experienced reality, and so on. And this is being done to the human population 24/7.
And then do you think that the whole internet is part of this plan?
Everything is two-edged. When you manipulate people through the media, through microphones and cameras, it's not the microphone or the camera that is manipulating. That's not good or bad. That just is.
Yes.
It's the way they're being used. I mean, you know, you're using your microphone tonight, in a very, very different way to someone who's now presenting currently on Fox News. So it's not the means that is the problem. That's good. The more we have the ability to communicate with each other, the better. It's what is communicated. And the internet, on one level, has been a great boon. I mean, it was founded on military technology, of course. They're not going to give military technology away unless there's something in it for them. And what's in it for them is the ability, much easier ability, to follow people's movements on the web, see what websites they go to, follow email communications, etc. The downside for them is that some great, great people have taken this opportunity to communicate information that would never have got out there normally.
They've had to take that downside
with the good side. And what they're now trying to do, Patrick, as you know, is they're trying to create excuses to censor the downside.
Do you think they were smart enough, clever enough, or a big enough vision, David Icke, to really make a calculated decision on the internet, or was this something that just a Pandora's box that popped open and took them by surprise? What do you think?
Well, I think there's a large part of the latter is correct, because I think that a genie was let out of the box, and they didn't quite realize how big a genie it was in terms of communicating information. But of course, you can communicate disinformation as well.
Sure,
you can communicate lies as well. So there are many, many ways in which the internet is a very, very good thing for the control system. But there is a big downside, and that's communicating information that is exposing the control system. And that's why they're trying to find more and more reasons, like this guy Jay Rockefeller's at the forefront of that in America, to find reasons to censor the internet. And we must not allow that to happen.
We're going to get to your calls and emails. For those on hold, stay there right after a short break in a few minutes with David Icke, author, lecturer, visionary in a geopolitics spirituality, asking the questions for 20 years of who we are, why we're here, where are we going, and what this is all about. My name is Patrick Timpone, and this is One Radio Network. Before a short break, David Icke, I want to ask you about this idea, because of course, with the internet, there's so many different stories that go flying around. Well, this is going to happen, and martial law and codecs and blah, 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 blah. And give us your ideas of what is the depth of, do you think that our listeners should even look at this stuff? I mean, if we give it interest, and if we give it space, and if we give it mind share into our minds of this or this terrible thing is going to happen, well, does it not just give it more energy? And what's the difference between that and just deleting the file and just, you know, dissing it like it's never going to happen? You know what I'm saying? That balance here. Give us your ideas on that.
Well, it is a balance. I mean, you know, you can put your head in the sand and hide the fact that a tornado is coming, but it's still coming. And if you lift your head from the sand and face the tornado, you can take avoiding action. But if you don't, then, you know, your head's in the sand and ignorance is bliss, but only for a while. But the tornado is still coming and your bum is still sticking in the air. And you can't take avoiding action because you're not looking at it. So I take your point. I do. And it's very important that we, this is what I do. And you know, I'm not frightened of this stuff. I'm not. I'm infinite consciousness. David likes my experience. So what is there to fear? But the thing is that we need to look at this and be aware of things, and then we're streetwise, and it gives us as more power to do something about it. But it's very important that we don't freeze because of fear of what all this is coming, and it can't be stopped. Well, it can be stopped. Crikey. You know, there's about 7 billion people on this planet, and the number of people in full knowledge who are manipulating this agenda is a relative handful at the center of the web or the peak of the pyramid, however you want to symbolize it. And we just need to wake up, and there's a tremendous amount about this in the new book. We just need to wake up and take our power back and realize what our power is. You see, if you can keep from people their true nature, then you can get people to not take their power back because they don't realize they've got any power to take back. And, you know, we as a human race are operating on a tiny, tiny, infinite fraction of our infinite potential. And, you know, when you see people like what they call autistic savants. There's an example of all of examples all over the world, but we've got one in this country. A guy called Stephen Wilshire, who in 1987, at the age of about 12, he was taken in a helicopter over London by the BBC for a documentary for half an hour. This guy, Stephen Wilshire, because of his autism, couldn't even count. He came down from the helicopter after half an hour and proceeded to draw in great detail, including getting all the numbers of the windows right, about 200 buildings across central London. Why? Because something had happened in his brain that had released the program, particularly in the left brain. That's where the program really is. And he'd opened himself to right brain reality. Now, you know, most people live in the left brain. They very rarely go into the right brain, which is the creative, the infinite potential. They stay in the left brain, which is structure and language and the world that we perceive it, everything apart from everything else, physicality, everything solid and all the rest of it. And that, when you look at it, Patrick, is how society is structured to make us. The education system is all about left brain. Left brain can see only limitation because it can't see connections, it can't see infinite potential, it can only see, limitation. When you look at the way the education system produces people who go through the schools and through the colleges and into the universities, and the more you are stuck in left brain and you take left brain information and then regurgitate it out on a left brain exam paper, the more you progress within the system. And through that educational, quote, success, you then go on to specialize in sciences, in medicine, you go into politics maybe, and all these other different areas of the system. And so left brain dominated people are the ones that are in the positions of influence and power throughout the system. Right brain people, who are the mavericks, they are the ad libbers, the spontaneous, they're perceived to be as being, you know, failures, and oh no, no, get rid of them. And so when you access this right brain reality, which is the way we access infinite potential out of the five sense arena, even indeed outside this reality, then you start to access levels of possibility which are staggering, called miraculous by the left brain because it doesn't understand. And this is what is happening with so many of these people who have problems in the left brain. The right brain then becomes the dominating influence of reality instead of the left, and bingo, they start to access these incredible, extraordinary abilities. And it's not extraordinary. I remember one of these people, these autistic savants, learned Icelandic in a week, which is a very, very difficult language to learn. And his Icelandic teacher said of him, he's not human. Yes, he is. He's the human that we really should be, but have been manipulated not to be by the way the system has manipulated our reality and put us in left brain limitation.
That's David Eck. My name is Patrick Timpone. You know who you are. Pass these links on to everyone that you care about and tell people about OneRadioNetwork.com, your calls and emails in just a second. One of the most curious things that we need to do is to continue to cleanse our bodies of all the different things that we get, combat it with from time to time, and those are electromagnetic fields, or if we do happen to drink, you know, some polluted water and all of the chemicals and, the weird thoughts, of course, they get tied in there too in the tissues, you know. And one of the nice ways that we have done for many years and we recommend is to get a very simple device called a rebounder. And these are very, very safe. They are well-researched. They were actually invented by NASA, and they helped the astronauts to build bone density while they were in space. And you jump up and down on these little 4 feet in diameter. They're about $230. We sell one that is lifetime warrantied for everything, the frame, the mat, the whole thing. It's a rebound air on OneRadioNetwork.com for $230. You may find it maybe $10 cheaper here or there, but if you get it from us, then you're supporting what we do on OneRadioNetwork.com. These rebounders are really good. They're just very safe, and they're easy to use, and the whole family can use them. $230. You can get them right on OneRadioNetwork.com.